Last week of baggage. Hopefully you've been tossing that baggage aside this week and you're not going to pick it up anymore. Amen? That was weak. I said you're not going to pick up the baggage anymore. Amen? There you go. I like that. It's much better. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been gripped by terror? Have you ever been afraid, fearful of something? You know the feeling, a shiver down your spine, the hair standing up on the back of your neck, your stomach sinking, your mouth dry. I mean, just bona fide, you were scared, you were afraid, whatever it is. Maybe you were a crime victim or afraid that you might be. Did you know that in today's crazy society, the statistics show that half of us will face the possibility of being a crime victim at some time during our lives? Or maybe you were gripped with fear over the possibility of losing your spouse to death or desertion. Or maybe you were on a plane that took one of those unexpected big dips. We were watching an episode of Big Bang Theory. They were on their way to Houston. It was just Howard and Sheldon. And they were on their way back, and it started taking a dip, and those guys just grabbed a hold of each other, grabbed hands, and they just locked hands. And even after they had landed, they said, "You think we can let go now?" You know, I mean, they were terrified, you know. But those big dips, you saw your life flash before your eyes. Fear, none of us likes to experience circumstances such as the ones that I just described. Yet, ironically, think about this. We spend millions of our hard-earned dollars to be scared out of our wits, do we not? We do it when we climb into radical roller coaster rides at amusement parks. We do it when we go to horror movies. We do it when we read Stephen King novels. Why do we do this? Maybe it's because we know that in these controlled environments, everything will turn out all right in the end. There's something invigorating about being scared when the threat to life and limb is just perceived. It's not real. Yet we are living in a culture that is becoming increasingly violent. It's dangerous out there in the real world today, is it not? And there are some justifiable reasons to fear for our own personal safety. Now, associated with the powerful emotion of fear is worry. And when you are gripped by fear about your future, your stomach can get tied up in knots just thinking about the possibilities, right? What if this happens? What if that happens? A great deal of time and tremendous energy are consumed worrying about what may never actually transpire. Do you hear me? Modern medical research has proven that worry breaks down our resistance to disease. Did you hear me? It can actually attack the nervous system. It can attack the digestive system and the circulatory system. Excessive worry can shorten our lives. Some people are probably shortening their lives by worrying about when they're going to die. I mean, think about it. You can worry yourself to death, said Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic. And he also said, but you cannot worry yourself to a longer life. John Curtis, director of the University of Wisconsin Stress Management Institute, he said this, "I believe that 90% of all stress is brought on not by living in the present moment, but by worrying about what has already happened, what is going to happen, or what could happen." Ann Landers, y'all remember her? She says that of the 10,000 letters she gets each month, one problem dominates. People are afraid. So what are they afraid of? They're afraid of losing their health. They're afraid of losing their wealth. They're afraid of losing their loved ones. But as a child of God, listen to me, you don't have to be afraid. Amen? Worry is a non-productive pastime. It has been said that worry is the advanced interest paid on troubles that seldom come. It has also been said that worry is like a rocking chair. You are always moving, but you never get anywhere, right? Worry is something that can grip us and it can overpower us. It is interesting that the word worry actually comes from an old English word that means to choke or strangle. Everyone knows how it feels to be choked and strangled with worries. There's a story about a man who was a bit of a worrywart. One day, a friend noticed that he was not gripped with worry, as usual, and inquired, "You're normally so worked up and worried about the future, but today you seem calm and reserved. What happened?" "I just got tired of worrying and hired someone to do it for me," the man said. "Really? And what do you pay this person?" the friend said. "I pay him $10,000 a month," said the worrywart. "You pay him $10,000 a month to worry for you? You don't even earn that kind of money yourself. How are you going to pay him?" asked the friend. "That's for him to worry about." So look at what Peter tells us about anxiety and worry. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. If you're there, say, "Oh yeah." I guess I'll wait a minute. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And I love verse 7. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for" who? He cares for you. Look at what King David tells us in Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." I want to tell you something today. If you've been carrying around baggage and you're worried about it, you feel your anxiety levels rising, it's time to let it go. Amen? You don't have to carry this baggage around anymore. Jesus wants to take this baggage away from you. He wants you to live an abundant life in him. Amen? But in order to be able to toss the baggage aside and give your worries to God, there's something that you need to do first. Look at verse 6 again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. "Humble yourselves." You know, Charles Spurgeon said, "He who can do all things without Christ will end in doing nothing." Can I say that again? "He who can do all things without Christ will end in doing nothing." That's good, isn't it? You see, when we humble ourselves before God, we are telling him that we cannot do it on our own. Do you hear me? When we humble ourselves, we are bringing ourselves before the Father and we're saying, "I can't do this. I need you to take over. I need you to have control of my life. I need you to be in control." And it's so hard for us to ask for help at times, isn't it? Anybody else there? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's just easier for me to do it myself, right? It's just easier for me to do this or to do that or to do whatever. It's just much easier for me to do it, and we don't bother asking for help. But you see, that's where another problem comes in. That's called pride, right? And we can't let all these spirits have control of our lives. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor? Spirits?" Can I tell you that these are spiritual fights? These are spiritual battles that you are raging, that is battling, that is trying to take control of your mind. And we have to come to the Father and we have to admit that we need help. Help could come in all kinds of forms. Amen? It could be asking for prayer. It could be getting the counseling that you need. It could be listening to a sermon or reading a book. It may be just picking up the Bible and asking God to show you something in his word. It can come in all kinds of form, but when we humble ourselves before God, we are saying to God, "I can't do this on my own." Amen? And Peter tells us that when we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift us up in due time. Amen? I want to be lifted up. Amen? I want God to lift me up, so I have to come before him and I have to lay it at his feet and give it over to him. God wants to lift you up. He wants you to succeed. God wants you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to walk around in defeat. He wants you to walk with your head held high, knowing that God is on your side and that God is going to give you the strength that you need to keep marching, to keep moving forward. Amen? That's what he's going to do. That's what God wants to do. So once you have the humility thing happening for you, and you have come to the conclusion that you need God's assistance dealing with your baggage, and it's time to do the next thing, and that's give it to Jesus. Amen? There used to be a song that we used to sing, if there is a mountain that you can't climb, take it to Jesus. You know? If there's anything in your life that you're struggling with, take it to Jesus. And I think it's something that we need to know. We just need to pick up the baggage that you've been trying to carry around on your own, and you need to give it to Jesus. And I know that sounds too simple. I know that sounds easy. But in order to be able to do this, we must look at the example of Mary, who is Martha's sister. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Just want to read a few verses here. It's this story. Many of you have probably heard this story. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, it says, "And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked." Now I want you to think about this. So here they are. They've asked Jesus to come to their house, you know. As soon as Jesus comes in, he sits down, however the situation is, and then the first thing Mary does is she just comes and sits right at Jesus. I mean, she's just in awe. Here is Jesus in my house. I mean, how would you react if Jesus came into your house, guys? Did that not just be amazing, you know? Did that not just be awesome? But here... Jesus is in my house, and she's just in awe, and she's sitting there, and who knows, she might have had so many questions. There's no telling. We don't know. She might have just been going on and on, but Jesus, you're here, and I just think it's so cool, and it's so wonderful, and I'm so glad you're here, and you're just magnificent. You're just wonderful. I just love you, Jesus. I don't know what she was, but it says that she's just sitting there just worshiping Jesus. And what's Martha doing? Some of y'all are familiar with Martha, aren't you? You're going, she's cleaning, she's making sure everything's, yeah, she's got to go over there, and she's got, oh, this needs to be shined, this needs to be nice, you know. I mean, she's, oh, dinner's not ready yet, we got to get this ready, this has got to go in the oven, this has got to go, this is Martha, okay? I mean, she's going nuts, she's got to make sure everything's just done, and Mary's just sitting there. Martha gets a little perturbed, don't she? She goes in, and she's thinking, I'm going to get Mary off her hiney, and she's going to get in that kitchen, and she's going to help me get this meal ready. And she goes in there, and she says, "Hey, Jesus, can you believe what Mary's doing?" Let's look at what Jesus says. Verse 41, "Martha, Martha." Can't y'all just see Jesus doing that? "Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Think about that for just a moment. Martha thought she was doing the right thing, but the truth is Mary was doing what was right. Now, I'm not saying you got to be lazy when guests come. That's not what I'm talking about. But this is Jesus we're talking about, right? That changes everything right there, because that's Jesus, spending time with Jesus. And the best thing that I can tell you right now from this example is you have to make time for Jesus. Amen? You have to make time for Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? We live in a world where we have information overload. The problem is all that information neglects the most important thing. Do you hear me? Jesus. And the best way to give your baggage to Jesus is to spend time with Jesus. Now, I want you to hear this. If you are worried about everything, then you are neglecting the one thing. Do you hear me? If you are worried about everything, then you're neglecting the one thing. What's the one thing? The one thing is Jesus. If you're worried about everything else in this world, then you're neglecting your relationship with Jesus. Well, how do you know I'm neglecting my relationship with Jesus? Have you prayed lately? Have you read the scriptures lately? Have you worshiped him lately? I'm not talking about Sunday mornings, people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every single day. If you are more worried about everything that's taking place, it's time that you need to take a stop, a pause, in your life, and it's time that you need to take a praise break. You hear what I'm saying? It's time that you need to worship the Master. You need to put your focus on the one thing. Stop neglecting the one thing. Do you hear me? In verse 7 of our text, we have the right formula for getting rid of the worry and anxiety that we tend to carry with us. Verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because what? He cares for you. Amen? That's something to be excited about. That's something to rejoice about. He cares enough for us. He loves us enough that he wants you to take all of your anxiety and all your worries and place it upon Him, because He cares so much for you. But when was the last time outside of church that you took a moment to spend time with Jesus? Martha was all busy. She was trying to get the house ready. She wanted everything to be perfect, that she forgot about the most important person in the room that day. Jesus was right there in her house, and she couldn't be bothered to spend time with Jesus. We should all be more like Mary, but the unfortunate news is that we are more like Martha, are we not? Jesus wants to spend time with you. And when you decide to spend time with Him, He will take your anxieties and your worries away. Now, that doesn't mean that your life will be perfect. Did Jesus ever once tell you, if you come follow Me and I'll make your life perfect? I don't see that scripture. I don't know where that scripture is. I hadn't found it yet. And I wish that I could stand up here and tell you that if you will place all your worries and all your anxieties and everything on Jesus, that everything is going to be perfect for you. I wish that I could stand up here and tell you that. But I can't. The only thing I can tell you, it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be a lot better. And a lot of times, I think we just get our priorities and everything out of whack. And the last thing that you need to learn this morning is trust Him. Trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus fully. I think part of the problem with our baggage is we get used to carrying it around. Do we not? I got my baggage. I'm going to carry it around a little longer. You know, it's getting comfortable, isn't it? It gets easy. Now, where's Brinley at? She's back there. Let me tell you something. I had never seen a backpack as heavy as this girl's backpack. I don't get it. You know, they don't have lockers at Chaffin, y'all. They don't have lockers there. And so she has, well, they don't use them. They don't use them. They carry it all around, okay? They carry them all around. They don't let them use the lockers no more. Ever since COVID, they stopped using lockers. Honestly, it's actually better. But so she carried, and I picked this thing up, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I said, how do you carry this thing around? She said, oh, I get used to it. And I honestly think that's what happens in our day-to-day life, right? We have this baggage, and we're so used to carrying this baggage around that it's just easy. It's normal. I can carry it around. I can take care of this. I don't need any help. I don't need Jesus to help me with this. I don't need no help with this baggage. This baggage is easy. I can do this. I can handle this baggage. And I think it's what we do. I think we get used to it. The problem is we got to learn to let the baggage go and trust Jesus to take care of it. I promise you, Jesus can do a lot more with that baggage than you can. Do you hear me? Jesus can take care of that baggage a lot better than you can. But it becomes like a comfort blanket, don't it? Y'all remember the character Linus? Anybody like Charlie Brown? Well, I want to show you a little clip, and I want you to notice Linus's blanket, okay? I know it's a Christmas clip, but I want you to notice this clip, and I want you to notice his blanket. Go ahead.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Did you notice that? He said, fear not. And just as he's saying, fear not, he drops that blanket. The thing that brought him the most comfort, the thing that brought him the most sense of peace, that blanket that he had to have. Because if you've ever seen any cartoon strip with Linus in it, or any movie that they have showed of Charlie Brown, any of them, Linus always has that blanket. And the one time that he says, fear not, that comfort is gone because he understands that Jesus is all the comfort he needs. Jesus is who can give him peace. Jesus is who can give him joy. And let me tell you something. There's some truth to this. Just as he doesn't have to fear anymore, there's trust in Jesus. There's comfort in the arms of Jesus. All my fears, all my worries, all my anxieties, they can be placed in his arm, and I can let go of the baggage that I've been carrying around, and I can know that Jesus loves me and he wants the best for me, and I can let go of the baggage. I can place my trust in Jesus and I can make him first priority in my life. Nothing else matters except my life in Christ. Amen? So think about this for a moment. If God didn't care, would he share his one and only Son with you? If Jesus didn't care, would he have humbled himself to the point of death for you? Is Peter trying to deceive you when he says to cast all your anxieties on Jesus because he cares for you? I don't know about you, but I believe it's time to let go of the suspicion. I believe it's time to let go of the doubt. I believe it's time to let go of the baggage, and it's time to trust Jesus with your life today and every day hereafter. It's time to pray this morning. It's time to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. If Jesus is not your Lord, today is the opportunity to make him your Lord. Here's what I want us to do. Can we just all bow our heads this morning? I want us to all say this prayer together. And if you're watching at home, I want you to say this prayer with us. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I am away from you. I want to be close to you. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's the first step. If Jesus isn't your Lord, you've made him your Lord this morning. That's the first step. Now, I know there's some of us, you say, I've been a Christian for a long time, but it's just hard for me to let go of some things. I've been carrying some things around. Can we just do something? I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to, can we all stand all over this congregation this morning? I want you to stand, and if that's something you're struggling with, that's something you're dealing with, I want to pray for you right now. You can just right where you're at, you can pray. If you want to come forward, we will pray with you here. We will have people that as soon as you step out, they're going to come down here and pray with you. If you need to say, I really need to give something up this morning. I need to lay something down this morning. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe there's a battle that's raging in your mind. and you're having a struggle, and you say, I need a touch from Jesus this morning. I need to learn how to surrender everything over to Him. I love Jesus. I've been a Christian all my life, but yet there's a struggle right now. I am struggling right now with something, and I need to lay it down. If that's you, I want you to come. There's several that are coming. I want you to come, and I want you to believe that God is going to do a work in your life this morning. Anybody else, just come this morning. Come this morning. If you say, I need a touch from the Lord, Bill, could you come help us pray? I need a touch from the Lord. Anybody else, come help us pray. It's time that we let it go, that we lay it down. We don't have to pick it up and carry it anymore. Amen? It's time that we set it at the feet of Jesus and let Jesus take over. It's time that we place it into His hands, into His arms. We give it to Him. Hallelujah. Can we just pray? Can we stretch forth our hands to those that have come and said, I'm dealing with some stuff. I need to surrender it. I need to let it go right now. We want to pray for those right now. God, we just come up and we ask that You would touch these. Every individual person that's here, Lord, I pray that You would touch their needs, that You would minister to them right now, God. God, I pray for a mighty move of Your Spirit to come and flow over this whole area right here, Lord God, that You would just come and touch and meet their needs, God, that they don't have to carry those burdens anymore. They don't have to carry that baggage anymore, but they can lay that baggage down at Your feet. They can turn it over to You. They can surrender it to You. They can give it to You and place it into Your arms and into Your hands, and that You can take that baggage from them, God. And they can be set free this morning from any anxiety, from any worry, from any fear, God. And they know that You got this. You have this. We can put our trust in You. We can put our life in Your hands, and we can surrender it to You right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray this. We believe this and know that You are going to do all things. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We magnify You. We give You praise and glory. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus, God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord God. We magnify Your name, O God. We give You praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord God. We magnify Your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we worship You, Lord. We praise You. We magnify Your name, O God. Oh, we praise You, Lord God. We magnify Your name today. God, be upon every person here, Lord God. We praise You. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We magnify Your name today. We give You praise and glory. Lord, You've set us free, God. You've set us free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know right now where you're at. You've been set free. Amen? Set free. You don't have to live in bondage to this baggage. Amen? This baggage has set you free because Jesus has come to minister to you and to do a work in your life. And we're going to walk from here in victory, believing that God is going to walk with us each step. Amen? Can we just worship the Lord this morning? Just everybody here, can we just take a moment and just say thank You, Lord? Lord, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father. We thank You for Your power and Your strength. We thank You for your glory. We thank You for Your touch, Lord God. We thank You for the victory that You have given us this morning. And we walk in that victory. We walk in that peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been set free from anxiety. Amen. Set free from worry. And we're going to walk in the victory this morning. God, we give You the praise and we give You glory and we thank You. We thank You. We honor You today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord's good, amen? Do you feel free this morning? Do you feel like you've let that baggage go? I'm like, no. If you haven't let it go, then let it go. Leave it here, amen? Don't take that baggage with you. Don't take it from here. Leave it here at the altar and leave it here in this house. And Jesus will take care of it. Amen? Amen. You can be seated for a moment. Lord is so good. Amen? Hallelujah. Sure. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. I want to give you, so what, we have, I'll tell you what, let's do something, then we'll do some announcements, then we'll close. I want to ask if David and Becky could come. Some of y'all already know this, but David and Becky and Samuel are leaving us, and they're about a year ago, they moved to Northwest Arkansas because of Becky's job. And they continued, y'all can come on up here, they continued to attend church. He's been our outreach pastor for a little over a year. Their last Sunday will be Mother's Day, May 14th. And here's what we are doing as a church. We're sending them. Do you hear me? They're not just leaving us, we're sending them. There's a difference. Do you understand what that means? It means that we are sending them to do a work there at Lincoln First Assembly, where they'll be helping them in any way possible. And that's what the kingdom of God's about. Amen? It's not about hoarding everybody that we can get. If somebody is called elsewhere, then you know what we do? We pray over them. We send them out. We send them and let them go. Because here's what I truly believe. And I've seen this happen. I learned this from my pastor, Pastor Ronnie Gilmore. If anybody knew how to send people out, he knew how to send people out. And every time he would send somebody out, God would bless them with more people to take their place. And I truly believe that as we send people out to do ministry where God is sending them, where God is placing them, then I truly believe that God will continue to pour in people in our life. Because if we take care of who God gives us, guess what? God will trust us with more. Amen? And so we want to send them out today. We want to be obedient to where God is calling us as people. And as a church, we are to be obedient in sending as well. And I believe God is doing something special. And I believe that just like God will do something special here, God's going to do something special there where they're going. And here's what I want us to do. I know I had y'all come up on stage, but if y'all will come down here, we want to pray for them this morning. If y'all could come and gather around them, and we want to pray for them, and we want to believe that God will just bless them and touch them. And here's what we ask. For the next 2 weeks, I want you to bless them, however that is, whether it's a card, whether it's just going up and giving them a kind word, whatever it may be, I want you to bless them, and I want you to pray over them and just tell them how much you appreciate everything that they've done. Can we just go ahead and let's just right now, let's pray over them. God, we just come to you right now. God, we thank you for their leadership that you have given them to us for this time period, Lord God, that as they have worked diligently here at this church, God, they have listened to your voice, that they have followed your calling and your directing, and God, you have placed them in another place, Lord God, and so we send them off, and we ask that you would just touch them, that you would guide them as they go, that you would direct them in the new path that you are leading for them, God. And God, we just pray that you would just help them to be spiritual leaders, God, in the new place that you have positioned them, God. And I pray that you would give them guidance and direction and that you will lead them each and every step that they take. And God, we just give you praise and we give you glory for the things that you are going to do. And God, we believe that we're going to hear good reports, God, of what you are doing in Lincoln, God. We just believe that you're going to do some amazing things there. And as you are doing amazing things here, we will be able to report and tell them of the amazing things that's happening here, God. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So y'all got 2 weeks to bless them over the next several days. And just love on them and let them know how much you appreciate them and so on. This? I turned it on.
I got a word for them.
Huh? Okay.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we don't release them easily. Do you hear me? We don't release them easily, but we know that God's got a place. And God's got a plan. This is the word that I have for you two. That's okay. Here's the plan. You've been obedient over small things. I'm going to make you ruler over large things. Did you hear that? That's the word of the Lord that you guys take with you as you go to this northern part of the country. You've been rulers over the small things, so God's going to make you ruler over large things. We can expect it. So any of the blessings that they have as they go up there, we, the church, receive it too.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's been hard. I mean, we've been gone or moved a year, and it wasn't our intentions to leave. We've been driving every Sunday. But as I've been praying for God to open doors up there, I mean, he didn't just open, he blew the doors off. We found this little church up there, and they have accepted us. And we had dinner with the pastor Friday night and his wife, and, you know, they've got big plans. And I'm like, okay, God, I said just open doors, not blow them off. But, I mean, we hate to leave here. We love you guys. This is a great church, but have the doors that open. So God bless you guys.
Real quick, I want to remind you of the Fishing Derby. Here's a good reason to come to the Fishing Derby. It's going to be one of David's last events. So there you go. See, you have to come to the Fishing Derby to help support one of his last events. But it's going to be exciting at Terrain Lake. It's just off Chag Colley Boulevard here in Fort Smith. It'll start at 9 a.m., and that is this Saturday. And so Game of Fish will come and put fish in the pond or in the lake. And so it's going to be a great time. It'll be a fun morning of fellowship with your church family. We want to see you there. Invite people, friends, neighbors, colleagues, anybody that likes to fish, or even if they don't like to fish, tell them to come on. It'll be a fun time. We'll have prizes and all kinds of good stuff happening as well. Also, we have 3 dessert items that were donated to help us raise some money for the Hope Campus. I could not think of it. My mind went blank. I've been doing that a lot lately. Y'all pray for my mind. Hope Campus, if you would like to go by, they're on a table right out there. They're on a table out in the foyer, and you can just a donation, whichever one you want. Just you can put a donation in an envelope, and we'll make sure that it goes there. Y'all, let's stand. We will have youth tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we will also have church Wednesday night at 7, so you don't want to miss it. Amen? God's doing some good stuff. Each Sunday, y'all look good. I want you to know that. Good-looking bunch here. Amen. So let's just pray. God, we just pray that you go with every person that's here. Pray that you send them forth, give them strength, give them wisdom as they go this week, God. I pray that you bring them back here safely Wednesday night to worship you once again. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Bless this offering and pray that you'd help us to be able to do the things that you want us to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Almost forgot, ushers are in the back. We also